We've been talking, in fact, last week I did what I called a guide to making right decisions. And so what I do after I do a message, or for that matter, even after I have a conversation with someone, I always go to prayer after. And I ask the Lord, you know, what about this? What about that? You know, did I say something I shouldn't have? Do I need to add to what I said? Do I need to pray for this person? In other words, I do a time of soul searching, in a sense, and spirit seeking at the same time. And so to be quite honest, you know, at the end of last week, you know, I'm driving home. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I mean, that was a good message. You know, I gave the points out. There was a little acronym there. You know, we talked about the importance of pausing. We talked about, you know, reading the Word, about asking God, and then about yielding and how it's surrounded in prayer. And the whole thing, you know, the acronym was prayer. And so I felt pretty good. I thought, man, this was, you know, pat myself on the back. You know, not a bad job. But as I'm driving home again, I'm still saying, Lord, you know, did I do everything that you wanted? And here's what he began to show. Everyone understood what prayer was. I assumed that everyone hears from God. I assumed that everyone can talk to God and not feel weird about it. In other words, I was saying that all that guide to right decisions is bathed in prayer. And what am I really saying? Bathed in relationship with Jesus. And so I'm assuming that everyone can hear from God, everyone can speak to God. But here's the reality of it for us, even as Christians. Sometimes we don't hear from God. How many people had that happen? You know, you maybe prayed and you know, it's like you didn't really hear and you're not sure what's really going on. And so that's what the Lord began to speak to me about. And so out of that is birthed what I'm going to be sharing with you today. And it's called open space, you know, preparing your heart to hear from God. Because I believe that all of us need, if anything, a refresher course. For some of us, we've maybe never heard from God really, other than maybe just through knowing what the Word of God says. And let me tell you something, that's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. Speak anything to you that's contrary to His Word, ever. But I want to tell you something, that God does speak still today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised His disciples, look, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come and dwell within you. He promises that according to the Scriptures. And here's the thing. I've been spoiled. I have heard from Jesus, so He speaks still today. And I'm ordinary. I'm just a believer in Christ Jesus. Do I have any believers in Christ Jesus? Then you are a disciple, a follower of Jesus. That means the same God that can speak to me, guess what? He can speak to you as well. And really, that's what I want to talk to you about today. I believe that there are some hindrances to us being able to hear from God in a clear way. And so I want to talk to you about that. Before I begin, I want to relay a story to you. This is not a true story. Having said that, I am sure that this story has happened. All right? So in this story that I read, there was a young man, 4 years old, was in the back of a car. He was there with his family. His family, you know, mom and dad were in the front and a couple kids in the back. But this particular four-year-old was in the back. And it was before seatbelt mandates and all that, so we're going back a number of years. So they're driving along the road, minding their own business, and they're going through an intersection, and someone goes through the red light going the other way and hits them right in the side. You know, and they're airlifted to the hospital, and everyone ends up being okay except for the little boy. And the little boy, the doctors did everything they could to try to save him, which they were able to. But as a result of some serious injuries to one of his arms and one of his legs, they had to amputate them at 4 years old. Now, can you imagine? Imagine a little boy that's, you know, all complete, everything works in a sense, and at 4 years old, losing an arm and a leg. And so what happened over time, you know, as he began to grow, they gave him different prosthetic limbs to be able to use, and as technology improved, he got different ones. And so actually, by the time he became a teenager, was really able to, you know, he was able to run with track, he was able to do a bunch of things, you know, that normally a person missing an arm or a leg might not be able to do, but just amazing. Now, here's the thing, for him, if you had asked him and said, hey, do you remember when you had your real arm and your real leg? He would say no. So for him, his normal was with just one arm and one leg, and then a prosthetic limb for an arm and a leg. That was his normal. He didn't know any different. I want to suggest to you today that some of us, just like that young man, are crippled in the realm of the spirit. I want to suggest to you that we may be missing an arm and a leg. We may be missing parts that God intended for us to have, and we're hobbling through life. But for most of us, we think that's normal. We think that's the way it should be. Because we've never known what normal is. Just like that four-year-old boy, he doesn't remember what it was like to run with two flesh legs or to play with two flesh arms. He doesn't remember. All he knows is with the prosthetic limbs that were provided for him. So he operates out of the new normal, so to speak, at a certain level. But God hasn't called us to be crippled spiritually. And so why did this happen? Why are we experiencing this? We have to go back in time. If we look at way back in the book of Genesis, you've got Adam and Eve that were in the garden, and they walked with God. The scriptures say that they walked with God on a daily basis, and they're there with him. And then what happened? An accident happened. An incident happened. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. And as a result of it, they were shut out of the garden, no longer able to come in and walk with God. In fact, we see for generations to come that now they had to offer up sacrifices, and sometimes they would have dreams and visions. They would kind of hear from God, but it wasn't the same as it was before. It wasn't like God was walking beside them like it was in the garden. Now it was kind of more of a long-distance kind of relationship. You know, God, through prophets and through priests, would proclaim what his law was and those kinds of things, and they would tell the people, and that's how it was. In fact, as close as they got to God was like the mountain that thundered and roared, and everybody says, I'm too scared. I don't want to get close to that. So it was this distant relationship. And so for centuries that happened. Now think about this. If we could interview Adam and Eve after they were kicked out of the garden, and we asked them what it was like in the garden, they could relay amazing stories, couldn't they? How in the cool of the day the Lord would come down and walk with them and be with them. And they could tell that story because it was a firsthand experience. Now, don't you think that they probably told that story to their kids and their kids and their kids? In fact, they must have, because we have it in God's Word. It's recorded there, so we know that. But here's the thing. Their kids and their kids after and their kids never experienced it for themselves. All it was a story. And so basically, after Adam and Eve, mankind became spiritually crippled. They didn't have the same relationship with God that they did in the garden. And so here we are today, and there are some Christian believers that think, well, this is the way it is. You know, I just kind of hobble through life just to kind of get through, to get to heaven. It's going to be okay in heaven. I'll be complete in heaven. When God says that he wants you to be complete now. When God says he wants you to walk with him now. And so that's really what I want to talk to you about today, to show you that God has a plan for you and I to walk in wholeness today. And so to begin this, we need to go to the Gospels. You have your Bibles, your apps, however you want to go there. If you would go to Luke chapter 3. You see, how do we prepare to hear from God? And if we think that we're crippled, in other words, that there's some kind of limitation, then we're not even going to expect anything from God. And I've met many Christians, when I talk to them, they love Jesus with all their heart. They've given their heart to God. They're going to heaven when they leave this life. I have no doubt in my mind at all. But when you begin to talk to them and say, what is Jesus saying to you this week or this past year? They give you that blank look, like, what do you mean? Speak to me. And I look back and say, you mean God doesn't talk to you? And they're like, well, not really. I am here to tell you that Jesus wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to you every single day. And if you're saying you're not hearing from him, then this message is for you, because I have 2 points. I have 2 points that I want to give you this morning, and we'll review them a couple times. But if you can get these 2 points down in your heart, you can hear from Jesus today, I promise you, because that's what the scriptures say. So let's see, let's begin with this, all right? So in Luke chapter 3, it's the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And so what's the first thing that Jesus does when he shows up in public? Anyone remember? He gets baptized, all right? So Luke 3, beginning at verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. This account shows up in some of the other Gospels as well. But as we look at this particular version, what is Jesus doing as he is being baptized? What's it say? He's praying. He's praying. Now, let's just talk about this word praying for a moment, because there's a lot of confusion with praying. You know, some people think praying is demanding things from God. Some people think it's begging things from God. You know, there's all kinds of confusion concerning what the word pray or praying is. So let's define it according to the original language. It's actually a compound word. So that means, you know, two Greek words that join together. And the first part of it, of the word prayed, is this: worship. And you might say, well, that's not really helping me a whole lot. You know, does that mean that we have to get the band together, you know, for me to pray? Do we have to have some background music to do this? No, and the answer is no. That's not what it's talking about. The word worship actually means worship. The idea is that you are putting God in his rightful place and putting yourself in your place. So it's two-sided. See, not only is God being put on the throne room of his heart, of your heart, but rather you are positioning yourselves as a servant to him. So literally, the first part of the word pray would be like this, if I was going to show you in the natural, is from this position. Now, am I telling you that if you're praying, you have to get on your knees? No. What I'm telling you is that needs to be your heart, one of submission to one who is standing in front of you. And that's really what worship is. It's honoring God, putting him in his rightful place. And in putting him in his rightful place, you have to position yourself in your rightful place. And that's below him. I know that, you know, there's people and teachings that talk about, you know, we co-reign with Christ. And I get that. The idea is that we're seated in heavenly realms with him. I get all that. But when you strip everything away, you're not co-ruling with Jesus. All right? When you strip it all away, he's the boss, and you are his son, his daughter, servant to him. All right, you can cut it any way you want. And I understand what that teaching comes from, because the idea is that sometimes people see themselves as lower than dirt, if you get what I'm saying. You need to be brought up and realize that that's not the way God treats you. He doesn't treat you like a slave. He doesn't treat you that way. He treats you with dignity and respect. So I understand where the teaching comes from. But let me tell you, and let me make it clear, God is God, and you and I aren't. Okay, that's just the way it is. And so prayer begins with being in that position of realizing that he is God and you are not. And then the last part, the compound, the second word, actually is the word will. It's really interesting because it doesn't mean God's will necessarily or your will, but rather will is involved with it. So worship and will. So worship, getting in the right position. And then the last part of it is will. Well, here's the thing. Isn't our desire to do the will of the Father, right? But we have a will as well, don't we? So what really is prayer? Here's what prayer is: coming to God with the right attitude, with the right heart, and wrestling between his will and your will, working it through. And the idea is, when you're done praying, whose will is supposed to be done? His. Again, to his honor and glory, and to your blessing as well. You know, don't think that when you do God's will and don't get to do what, quote, you want, that you got the short end of the stick. Because if you think that, you do not understand how big God is. That he sees the beginning from the end, everything in the middle. So when he instructs you and tells you not to do something, it is not just for his honor and glory. It's to protect you. It's to bless you. He's in this for the long haul. You hear what I'm saying? He's in it for the long game. You know, you might want to do something now, like, God, this feels good. I really want to do this now. And God sees that it will be destructive to you if you do that thing right now. You know, a classic example is sex before marriage. You know, people get involved in that. And I get it. I understand all that. But the thing is, when you do that, you are short-circuiting what God has for you down the road in a marriage relationship. So you hear where I'm going with this. There's a reason why God has guidelines. There's a reason why he wants to speak to you and share his will with you. I can't encourage you enough in this. Okay, so why did I even bring the scripture up concerning you and I in praying? Well, if you look at the very next line, when he prayed, what happens? It says the heaven was opened. And then God spoke and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It's interesting that Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't done anything yet, right? Other than just show up and get baptized. That's God's heart towards you and I. The moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you know that God's pleased with you? It's not like, okay, you have to go and report for duty, and God will be pleased with you after you accomplish these 10 tasks. That's not how it works. He's pleased with you because you have become a son and a daughter of his. That's it, beginning and end. Now, does that mean then you go off and just do your own thing? No, but as a son and daughter, you then want to pursue him. You want to worship him. You want to know his will. You want to be in prayer with him. You want to connect with him. And that's really what we're talking about this morning. So open heaven. Let's talk about this for a moment. Before this event, If you look at the Old Testament, it says this, that for 400 years, God was silent. Can you imagine? God not speaking for 400 years. So you know how most people thought, even most believers in God, that God's a distant God, that God doesn't talk anymore. And here's the first time Jesus is baptized and a voice from heaven. God speaks audibly. Think about it. We have it recorded in the Bible, so that means that God didn't speak inside Jesus' head. We literally have it recorded. You know, in this case, it was Matthew. If we read the Mark, it was Mark. In other words, people that were there heard a voice from heaven speaking. Okay, here's what I love about God's word. There's no exceptions. There's no weird stuff there. There's no mistakes. So if God can do that there, where else can he do it? In your life and in mine. God is still speaking today. Why? Because heaven is open. When we look at the Old Testament, we can read that, for example, in the book of Daniel. Here's Daniel, and he was a godly guy. There's nothing recorded that he did wrong, ever. So he prays, all right? So he prays earnestly, seeking God for wisdom. 21 days later, an angel shows up and says, hey, we heard your prayers 21 days ago, but it took this long to break through the realms of heavens to get to you. And again, I don't want to get into this, but there's actually three levels of heaven. The Apostle Paul talks about the third heaven that he was caught up into and saw things inexpressible. So you have that heaven, the third heaven, that's heaven that we think of normally, where God is, where the throne, where the kingdom of God is. And then you have the next level, which basically is the space between the first heaven and the third heaven. And the first heaven, way to think about it, is our atmosphere around earth. Basically, this from ground up, so to speak, is the first level. And so we see in the Old Testament that it took 21 days. Can you imagine us as believers saying, okay, guys, you know, let's take a minute and pray for something, but, you know, let's set our watches and set our Apple watches, and 21 days we'll hear back from God. Can you imagine? That's not the way it is anymore, is it? Why? Because of this event right here, the one we just read about. Heaven is now open. There's no place in the Bible after this where it said heaven closed up again. And I love it. In Mark's gospel, Mark 1 verse 9 is the same account. And it says this, that when heaven was open, that word open, the Greek word for that is schizo. And we get the word schism from. Now think about that word. It's not a word we use often, but if you ever heard this, there was a schism between those two people. Can you interpret? You know what that means? It means that there was such a separation that there's no way it's going to be joined back together again. And that's what that root word schizo means, that when heaven opened, it means it's not closing again. And again, sometimes it might feel like heaven is closed, but it has not. Meaning there's no more 21-day wait. There's none of that. Why? Because Jesus on the cross of Calvary defeated the works of Satan. See, he is the ruler, the prince of the air. But for us as believers, we cut through all the static. We now have a direct connection to God. And why? Because Jesus promises. He said, when I go to heaven, you can read about it in John chapter 14. If I go, I will come back again and I will dwell and live in you. For how long? A week, a month, a day? Forever. And so the minute you pray, that's why scripture says that before you even utter your prayer, that God knows what's on your heart, because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He's right there. And so point one for this morning is this, that we live under an open heaven. Heaven is open to us. So if that be true, why do we still have trouble? Because that's all God's side. If you get what I'm saying, we can't change that. Jesus, heaven open, it's open, it stays open. So what's the problem still? Well, it's at our end, and I want to talk to you about that for a moment. So if you go to Matthew chapter 13, I want to show you our part in being open to God. Amen? See, I want every one of you to hear from Jesus. I want every one of you to experience his presence in a new, fresh way. Here's the problem. With some of us, we have examples of people around us who have a certain level of intimacy with God, and here's what we think. Well, man, I'm not as good as them, and if they're only at this level, then how can I ever exceed that? See, we're not supposed to be comparing ourselves with anybody. We're supposed to be talking to Jesus. See, it's about a personal relationship. Don't let the limitations, the crippledness of other people hinder you from walking with Jesus. This is so important. Because if you're looking at the people around you, you know, they got their own issues. You hear what I'm saying, right? Don't look at your wife or husband or your kids, all right? Just look straight ahead at me, all right? But they got their own issues. They got, you know, amputated parts, you know, spiritually speaking, that they've got to reattach, that they have to allow Jesus to work through in their lives. But don't let their limitation hold you back. This is just so important. Jesus wants to talk to you every day. He wants you to be able to hear from him every single day without exception. Amen. Okay, so if we go to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a parable here. I want to begin reading at verse 3, all right? Then Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, this parable shows up a number of times in the Gospels. And what's unique about this parable, and what is a parable? A parable is a natural, you know, physical story to try to illustrate a spiritual truth. You know, something that we can't really understand, so he gives us a natural example. But what is amazing about this particular parable, unlike most parables, he actually interprets it for us. Now, I like that. How many people like it when Jesus tells you where it's at, all right? Now, here's the thing. He's going to tell us where it's at, but we still have trouble with this parable. And I think that's why he told us what it meant, so that we could try to figure it out a little bit easier. So he gives us the interpretation in Matthew 13, beginning at verse 18. And he says this, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Verse 23. "But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word of God, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we have this parable that is interpreted by Jesus. And so we need to look at this for a couple of minutes, because I believe that this is speaking about you and I today, and maybe some of the obstacles that you and I deal with in being able to hear from God. So to do this, we need to set the stage of what is this parable really about. And it's, if you look in verse 19, this is the key to the entire parable. And it says this, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." All right, so we need to look. Word of the kingdom. That word is logos, means spoken word or revealed word or truth. You could just say truth, but biblical truth. I don't mean truth in the world, but biblical truth of the kingdom. And the word kingdom can mean a couple different things. It can mean realm, you know, or reigning. That's a couple ways to look at it. But here, and Randy spoke about that a little bit earlier. But here's the reality of it. This is about the truth of the invisible realm. And so he then goes on to talk about how this interfaces with you and I. And so where does this word get put? What's it say in verse 19? In our hearts. Well, that word heart there is cardia, which actually means thought or will or emotions. So literally, it's the word of God being placed within us, all right? It's really important to know that. And then it goes on and gives four types of hearts, or four areas of the heart. Let me tell you this just in advance. There are some people who would teach that this refers to four different kinds of people. That the last one that had the good soil, that's the only believer in the story. And the other three that had, you know, a hard area in their heart, or had thorns or rocks, they're not saved people at all, because the word of God didn't multiply. I don't believe that. I don't think that's the character and nature of Jesus. I believe as I look at this, he's talking about the heart in general. I don't know about you, but I've got some hard areas in my heart still. I got some rocky areas, I got some thorny areas, and I got some good soil as well. I believe that it's just speaking about our hearts in general and how when the word comes in and it goes into those different areas, how it's affected. So let's look at it that way. So we take the first one, and it says it fell by the wayside or on the hard ground. So we have that word, the word of God, the truth goes and hits that. You know what that's like? We're so set in our ways, we don't care if the truth hit us upside the head. I had a friend in Canada that drove me crazy. I would say to him, hey, you know, this is true. And I would tell him something that was absolutely true. And if he didn't want to believe it, here's what he'd do. Go, la, 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 la. He put his fingers in his ears and just do that. I just want to punch the guy in the nose. Just drove me crazy. But literally, those are the kind of people who have a part in their heart that's so hard that even if the truth smacked them in the face, they don't want nothing to do with it. Do you have some hard areas in your heart? I know I do. See, step one is acknowledging you have that heart area so that Jesus can bring healing to that, can begin to help you work that ground so you're not so stiff-necked in that area. And for some of us, we make that hard stand because we believe we're standing for truth. I believe that we should look at all truth all of the time. And here's what I mean by that. You can be sure about something, but could it be that God wants to give you a little different perspective on it? You know, as I look at the word grace, for example, as I've walked in grace of Jesus for 35 years almost now, that definition has changed in my life. In my understanding of it, how I treat others, grace has changed only because I've allowed it to. I could have taken my first definition and said, this is grace without mercy. You know what I'm saying? And that was kind of where I was at. But here's what's happened over time. Grace has been softened by the presence of the Spirit of God, where now mercy is a part of that, where now I'm not harsh in judging people and that sort of thing. You hear where I'm going with this? So I've allowed that hardness to be worked up in that area of my life. So we move on. So we got the hard area. We then move on to the stony area. Well, what does that represent? Well, here's the thing. It says that the word is received. It actually begins to grow, but what happens is the sun comes up, right? And because there was not enough root, then it just gets wilted away and just gets burned up. Well, the reality of it is that we have to allow the truth of God to become so impermeated in who we are that when we're persecuted, when things happen in our lives, that we don't walk away from it. And that's just so important for us to do that. Now, how does this relate to an open heart to God? You see, if we're on our knees before God, spiritually speaking, and we want His will to be done, if your heart is hard in an area, are you going to be allowing God's will to meld with you? Are you going to allow it to connect with you? Or are you spiritually saying, la, 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 I'm not listening? Because that's what we do when we have a hard heart. Same with the rocks. Those rocks represent areas that we are not giving over to God. And when He comes and says, hey, please let me have that. And again, we're just singing la, 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 la back to Him saying, no, I like my pet rock. I like my pet thinking. I like my way I'm doing things right now. And we keep holding on to it. And then we move on to the next one where it says thorns are there. The seed seems to go and seems to be doing well, but the thorns begin to choke it out. Now, what's interesting with this is if you look at verse 22, it says this, Now he who receives seed from the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The care actually means distraction, and deceitfulness means delusion. See, we can be distracted and deluded so easily. How many people had that happen in their lives from time to time? My hand's up because it happens. You know, we get deceived sometimes. You know, we're told this and we come to find out later it was wrong. You know, and sometimes the cares of this world, you know, the bright lights of the fake lights in this world rather than the real light of Jesus can distract us from what God has for us. And so that's difficult. And then we finally have the good soil, which the seed goes in, produces 100, 60, 30-fold. How does this relate to you and I? Here's how it relates. Is our heart open space to God? You see, heaven is open, so God's ready to speak. In fact, I perceive in the spirit that God's like a radio in your car, that whether the radio's on or not, the signal is there and available. You turn the radio on, and then you have to turn the channel to get the right frequency. But there's always something on the channel, if you get what I'm saying. The question is, are you and I tuned in to that channel to be able to hear what God has for us? Or are we tuned into the cares of the world? Or are we so hardened we don't want to hear about it? You hear where I'm going with this? Are we open to what God wants to do. And so this message for you has really been for me, in a sense. You know, God's been speaking to me about being open to Him. So a number of weeks ago, I was just listening to the radio. I was listening to one of the Christian radio stations, and there was a song that came on called Open Space by a group called House Fires. Interesting group. They don't name who all the musicians are. They just, it's interesting that they do it that way, because it's not about them. It's about just worshiping the Lord. And so as I listened to this song, it just began to speak to me, especially the chorus and the bridge. Just really began to speak to me. And through all of this, this is my heart for you to be able to hear from God. And so you can go online, you can hear all kinds of sermons about hearing from God, all that, and it's all great, no problem at all. But what God was saying to me is, show them. And that's something that I don't see a lot in Christendom now. I hear lots of people talking about God, about the Holy Spirit moving, about worship, about praying, all kinds of, you know, do this, step, do that. It's all good, nothing wrong with it. But I see very little demonstration of it. So what I'm about to do right now is way beyond my comfort zone. Like, I mean way, way out there, all right? But God is showing me what I need to do. I need to invite you for a couple of minutes into my world, how I worship, how I enter in to begin to speak with God. And so for me, I sing to Him. Now, I don't sing very well, okay? That's the reality of it. I don't. But to God, He's blessed. You hear what I'm saying? He's blessed. See, it's not about how well you do that. It's not how you push all your words together to pray even. He just wants your heart there. He wants your will on the altar so that He can take it and help you in your walk with Him. But sometimes we've gotten so hard and so callous that we couldn't hear God even if He was screaming with a megaphone into our ears. And we have to come to a place of worship first. So that's why the title of this sermon was Preparing to Hear from God. Before you can even hear from Him, your heart has to begin to be right. You have to come to a place of surrendering to Him. And so in a sense, what I'm about to do now is a form of surrender for me, but to show you what I do, to help you see how this might work, all right? Now, does that mean you have to play an instrument to worship Jesus? No, it doesn't. In fact, if you have a voice box and can talk to Him, that's where it's at, amen? So I would sing songs to Him. That's how I would do it. And about a year ago, I decided, you know, I would really love to be able to accompany my singing with an instrument. So I began to play keyboard a little bit and tinker with it. So what you're going to hear now is not in any way professional. In fact, I'll tell you right now, Bucky, wherever you are, you don't have to worry about your job being taken. Any of the musicians, you don't got to worry. You've got nothing to fear, all right? And for those watching online, I promise you, I will not give up my day job, all right? But having said that, I believe that God is going to speak to you through this. Amen? And so I encourage you just to close your eyes. Hear the words of the chorus and the bridge of this particular song. And my prayer is that God speaks to you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray that each individual here can just see You and know that heaven is open for each one here, and that you're asking us to open our hearts to you. And you're not angry at us. You're not going to shun us. You already know what's in our hearts, so there's really no point to hide anything from you, but just to come to you and be open to what you want to do. I'd like to ask everyone to stand if you'd like. Now, I'm not asking you to sing this song if it doesn't mean anything to you. Just stand there then, but in a few minutes, we're going to close. But if this song means something to you, if these words mean something, see, part of coming before the Lord is to confess, and this is a confession of being open to him. So they're going to put the words up, and we'll try to make this happen. In fact, do me a favor, sing louder than me. Can you do that? My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open, I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open, I am open. What are you saying? Where are you going? My heart is open wide, my eyes are open wide. What are you saying? Where are you going? My heart is open wide, my eyes are open wide. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open, I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open, I am open to you, to you, to you. Father, I thank you for every person that came here today. I just pray that your glory would just be upon them, that they could just experience you this week in a way that maybe they haven't in the past before, that they can worship you and honor you by being in a position of being under you and just seeing you in all of your glory and all of your splendor. Lord, make yourself more real to each person here, that every need be met according to the glory and riches which are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that our hearts are an open space to you. Let's just do that verse just once more, all right? My heart is an open space to you to come and have your way. I'm open, I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open, I am open. Father, right now in Jesus' name, bless each one as they go forth from this place, that the Lord God, that they would be open to you in every circumstance, every situation, every relationship. Lord, you have divine appointments for people here, Lord God, to experience you in ways that they couldn't even imagine. And I pray that the reality of you, that truly as they see heaven open and their hearts open, the Lord God, that there just be a connection between heaven and earth, between them and you. Father God, bless them this day. I pray for the reality of Jesus to be made more real in each and every one of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Listen, if you need prayer for anything, we are here for you. God bless you this morning.